This is Record of Change, Episode 7. My name is Matthias Jochmann, I am your host for this episode. Record of Change listens to 8 individuals located across the globe on how the COVID-19 pandemic has changed their lives. In this episode, we will listen to Fida Shurab from Gaza City. Fida is a program and fundraising officer at Atfaluna Society for Deaf Children, and she will share with us how the pandemic influenced her work and what restrictions people living in the Gaza Strip face, even without a pandemic. Today, I am talking to you from Bonn in Germany. While many people here in Germany got very emotional about reduced traveling possibilities this summer, I was curious to hear a perspective from Gaza. In case you don't know, the Gaza Strip is part of Palestine and finds itself under a full blockade since 2008. The Gaza Strip is not only restricted in movement, but also in its resources, hence both electricity and internet often drop. But let's hear from Fida herself.
I'm Fida Shurab from Palestine, living in the Gaza Strip. I work as a fundraising and project officer in Atfaluna Society for Deaf Children. Also, I'm a freelancer, interpreter, translator and writer with several magazines.
For those people who don't know, what is Atfaluna doing?
Atfaluna Society for Deaf Children serves children, adults with and without disabilities in different thematic areas. It provides its services and intervention in a very comprehensive and holistic approach. Children are being enrolled in early intervention services, provided with hearing aids. After the age of 3, they are in the kindergarten. After they finish the kindergarten, they are enrolled in Atfaluna School that has annually the enrollment of almost 200 students, deaf students from all over the Gaza Strip. We have also vocational training and income generation program that supports the livelihood and economic empowerment of persons with and without disabilities through employability skills and also job creation in the local market, and supporting also self-employment. Protection and psychosocial support is one of the main programs that we provide here in Atfaluna for children, adults, women, girls. We also provide interventions such as speech therapy sessions for adults and children who have speech problems. And we advocate throughout all the community to change the policies to make the community at large inclusive for children.
Thank you. So I do know a little bit about the Gaza Strip, but for those who don't know, can you describe from your perspective what is the special situation about the Gaza Strip and why is the work of Atfaluna needed that much?
The Gaza Strip is one of the most densely with population area in the world. It's estimated that 2 million people live in the Gaza Strip, in the very narrow area of the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip is encountered with many hardships and difficulties due to several factors. Since more than 11 years, the Gaza Strip suffered from a very tightened siege. No movement freedom is allowed. We have no borders that we can at any time decide to travel. The siege has imposed so many complications on the life and the living condition on the people in the Gaza Strip. Economic difficulties, health problems, education restrictions. So the Strip is faced so many difficulties, but also the people in Gaza have the skill of coping mechanism. There are many success stories coming out of the Gaza Strip. It's difficult, but we learn how to live. I heard when someone said, from where did you learn how to cope in those difficult living conditions? All life aspects did not stop the people in Gaza from dreaming, from going after their wishes to be achieved. You can see so many potentials for the youth, the children. All have this willingness to reach out the Gaza Strip, but we need the opportunity. We still believe that it's our right to live in peace, to have the freedom of movement, to lift the siege. It's very important to end all the violence and against the people living in the Gaza Strip and Palestine in general as well.
Could you draw a picture of your neighborhood, your environment? What do you see every day? And also, how has it changed due to the pandemic, if at all?
The most thing that the Gaza Strip is characterized with is the sea. It's our only outlet, actually. When we start at the sea, we see the whole world. So the pandemic was difficult and it has affected the lives in Gaza. It's true that we did not witness a huge outbreak among the community and people in Gaza. It was really controlled in a very effective way, but it also increased the suffering of people because now the borders are even more tightened to be closed. So people coming from abroad are being kept from 21 to 28 days in quarantine, because we know if one case was being reported among the community, the whole Gaza Strip will suffer a very devastating consequences. We have very poor health system due to political situation imposed siege. So those on rule in Gaza do all their efforts to limit the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus among the community members. But at the same time, as I said, it has affected the living condition of people. So many people have lost their source of income. We already have limited employment opportunities in the Gaza. We have like 60% of unemployment rate, while the World Bank says that 80% of the Gaza Strip people depend on humanitarian aids. So the pandemic has increased the economic difficulties. During the pandemic, we in Atfalun have witnessed so many reported cases of abuse and child issues. GBV issues have been also increased against women due to the distress that people suffer from the whole economic condition. But the good thing that NGOs working in the Gaza Strip, I'm sorry for the noise, working in the Gaza Strip.
What is the noise?
It is the printer, because the electricity went off. So when it went back, the printer has turned on again. Sorry for the phone as well.
Our conversation for this episode was interrupted 4 times due to a lack of electricity.
So the NGOs, they managed very effective emergency response. Like education has somehow continued through e-learning modalities. The psychosocial support was given through remote modalities. Here in Atfaluna, we had so effective approach in reaching our beneficiaries. And we did not stop our intervention. We increased the services, we increased the efforts so that the children in our care, the families, are not that much affected by the pandemic, so that they still live in a good livelihood conditions.
So today is August 19. It's already some time that people start talking about the pandemic. How do you perceive people around you currently being affected by the pandemic?
Okay, they are afraid, but being careful and taking the precautionary measures are not at the same level of the start of the pandemic in March. It's different. Now people are somehow assured. But every time we learn that new reported cases in the quarantine, we do fear that there might be any heavy outbreak. You can see people do not fully follow the precautionary measures, but other people do follow those precautionary measures. But generally speaking, we have some kind of normal life going on. People are moving freely in the streets. Public places are open to receive people. Precautionary measures are being taken, but not as the same level as when the pandemic started. But fear is still there.
How did you personally first time hear about the pandemic, and what did you think about it?
Yes, it was on Saturday when the first 2 reported cases in the Gaza Strip were reported. The outbreak started first at the West Bank, and there were like 80 reported cases, and still the Gaza Strip was free of any reported cases. So on Saturday, the 4th of March, I was at home. We learned about the 2 reported cases. So when I came back to the work, it was already the decision is making to restrict all kind of activities and to limit all types of moving in the streets, to close down the markets, the public places, wedding halls were closed. So it was something new for us, how we will be continuing living in such a situation. What if the pandemic has heavily outbreaking among the people living in Gaza? So at the beginning, we used to work with a very limited team members. So we in Atfaluna, we have 134 employees. So at the first of the pandemic, only 30 people used to come to work, working on service providers and the admin staff, the emergency team. So we were looking at our service, what we'll be doing. And through discussions, learning from other experiences, searching online, seeing how other countries were affected, what they have done, and learning from them. So our main target is to raise the awareness of families and the children about how to take precautionary measures against COVID. And we started developing videos that can address children, adults, provided in sign language and audio and written also messages so that everyone would understand what is being said. Then we started the remote psychosocial support. The difficult thing that we do provide our economic empowerment program for our beneficiaries, but this program stopped during the first month of the pandemic because it depends on social gatherings and bringing people here to be trained and then sending them to the local market. Already the local market was closed and suffering from financial matters. So it was difficult how to respond to the livelihood or economic needs for the families. So we provided hot meals for families through our food catering program that helped alleviating some of the suffering of the families. We provided them with hygienic kits as well so that they are protected to their homes and home settings. Messages to the families how to treat the children during this pandemic and home confinement, how to answer their children questions. The education also continued. We developed somehow a very primitive e-learning approach. We recorded educational videos to the children and formulated WhatsApp groups to the families. And we sent those videos to the children so that they are connected with the schools and their teachers. So it was difficult at the beginning, but it widened our way of thinking. And we have these two modalities, the blended interventions and also the remote or e or online modalities. So it was a learning actually journey for us. It's something new. We are used to crisis in the Gaza Strip, especially in wars, but this pandemic was something new.
You just said something which I was starting to guess, that the fact that you living in Gaza, you are already used to difficult situations, you're used to having big obstacles. I was wondering if that helped you in overcoming these obstacles raised now by the pandemic.
Yes, it helped us because in every situation, we train people on crisis management. And every intervention and every design of a project, we do have this risk matrix and the likelihood of happening and how we can mitigate those risks. The new thing is that those risks include the political situation, security situation, social risks, economic risks, borders closure. It has never contained any something related to natural disasters or even pandemics. But the new thing that we have learned and we built up on our experiences, because even during wars, we did continue our intervention and services. So this kind of link has led us to develop interventions during the pandemic. So it was built on our experiences in crisis management and living the crisis, not only managing it. So yes, it helped very much.
I'm impressed. I mean, you managed to tackle it so quickly. It sounds like it's been, I mean, difficult, but very quick and effective.
But at the same time, it requires so much of resources. Hello again, I'm sorry, internet connection problems. Okay, I was saying that yes, we managed to continue during the pandemic, but it required so many efforts and it is very challenging, especially when we talk about remote services or interventions. Not everyone in the Gaza Strip have internet connections or smartphones that they can be reached through. So we were working in two modalities, like providing the online or remote psychosocial through social media and also hotlines, but at the same time, our team used to go and reach out for those who do not have any kind of internet connections or smartphones. Is it challenging and it requires so many resources so that we can continue?
I would like to ask you for your personal experience of the pandemic. Do you remember special moments of surprise or for me personally, now when I look back to the last 4 or 5 months, I can see lots of up and downs of many moments of fear and many moments of hope.
Yes, it has affected me on the personal level. So in the first few months, I was so afraid that my family members would be infected. So every time I read on how to protect ourselves from being infected, so I came up with this new things and new materials and hygienic materials and say we should do this and should do that. Every single place in our room should have hygiene, alcohol, so that we always do sanitize our hands. I used to tell my mom, I'm already going out to my work, so anything you want, don't send anyone. Just tell me and I'll be bringing it in my way home. Those were very challenging moments at all levels. Difficult, still they are difficult, still there are risks, but also it opens our minds to think deeply, to reformulate our approaches, to read more. It is a learning, difficult opportunity. This is how I would name it for myself.
And then what gives you hope?
It's not the last crisis that we're living. It wasn't only the pandemic. Yesterday and the day before and the day before, we were witnessing airstrikes across the Gaza Strip. We still have hope to live. We still have hope that this place will be a brighter place to live. I have hope that we all in the Gaza Strip have the potentials, have the skills, have the minds to do what is good for our community and what is good for ourselves, as long as we have mind. I always believe in the saying that says difficulties add brains. So this is my hope, that difficulty doesn't mean this is the end. There is always a hope for a better life.
Yeah. That's very warm words.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, like in the bubbles that I act in, more and more people were talking about solidarity and about resilience. But this was more like, for me personally, I felt like this was something people thought about in the beginning, and now it's just...
Building the resilience and coping mechanism is very important. This is not a normal situation, but we should continue our normal life. But taking the consideration, all the precautionary steps that we need to take, coping and resilience is very important. This pandemic has affected so many people psychologically. Still, those who are affected by the virus do suffer from the stereotyping, and people would be afraid from communicating with them even after they heal from the virus. But also combating those stereotypes is very important.
If I may ask, how does religion help you or influence you in coping with this and other crises?
You know, faith is very important in coping. To have faith is very important, actually. Being a Muslim, our religion has taught us that always to have faith in Allah's destinies. So yes, it helps us. In every difficult situation, even if it's in the personal level or in the community level or at the country level, we used to pray so that any difficulties will be vanished anytime soon. So faith do help us very much. This pandemic, the precautionary measures of the pandemic depends only on hygienic acts. In our religion, we have several steps, several advice on hygienic acts so that we are always clean and healthy. We wash our hands in a certain way with faces, our legs and everything. So it did help, and everything is connected. I believe that faith and religion do help any crisis. In the Gaza Strip, yes, we are a Muslim community, but we enjoy a very decent life. It's not very restricted. We do go to schools, we do go to the universities, we do enjoy our hobbies, we do this recreational activities, so we do enjoy our life. The stereotypes of the Gaza Strip that we are a very restricted community, we have so many forbiddens, Yes, we have some kind of forbiddance from, let me say, wrong acts, as any kind of religion, like the Christian, the Jewish religion. So, but we do enjoy our life. Being a Muslim doesn't mean that we don't enjoy life or we don't like living. Being Muslim helps us. Our faith helps us very much.
Could you describe for people who don't know about the Gaza Strip, how much was traveling for you possible before the pandemic?
Actually, traveling is very challenging here in the Gaza Strip. We need to do so many procedures. We have two ways of traveling, either through Erez checkpoint that leads to Israel, and then we travel through Jordan, or either through the Egyptian border, Rafah border. Both cases are very difficult. You should register 6 months before your travel and do so many procedures, not as any country, and you wait, and you don't know if you will get the chance to travel or not. Traveling through Rafah borders, for those who travel from Rafah or coming through Rafah, do spend week in the streets before getting into Egypt because of the political situation. The humanitarian situation would be very difficult for the people who are traveling. Actually, for me, I would not take the decision to travel through Rafah border because it will be difficult at the humanitarian level. It will be also insecure to stay in a very empty place like Sinai desert, and no place to go, sitting in the cars, no access to water, no access to toilets, no access to food. It would be very difficult. Traveling through Erez checkpoint do also require a very strict procedures. We have to coordinate with the Israeli side to get the permission. We have to get the permission from the Jordanian side as well. For myself, I was invited twice to travel to Jordan for a training course. I got the Jordanian permission, but I did not get the permission from the Israeli side. So I couldn't travel. So it's very challenging, and you never know if you're going to travel or not. It's all a matter of possibilities. You plan for traveling, but you don't know when and how you will be traveling. And you have to think a million times before deciding to travel. Those who do have studies abroad or have some kind of trainings or are obligated with work contracts abroad.
So I'm wondering if you follow news or anything from, let me say, the global north or, for example, Europe. So now, especially in summertime, it seems like to some people the biggest concern is that they cannot travel. So thinking of your situation, what do you think about this?
Yes, this is our right to enjoy the movement of freedom of movement. Yes, we don't enjoy this privilege, actually. And I wish sometimes it is much easier to take a decision so that I can go. For example, on Eid holidays, we have 9 days or 7 days. We don't have anywhere to go except being in the Gaza Strip, visiting our relatives, going to the seaside. But actually, thinking of the people living abroad, when it comes to long holidays, they have plans of traveling, visiting new countries, visiting new places. But we don't have this right. Now we seek traveling for important issues, but also it's our right to seek traveling for entertainment, for tourism purpose. But we don't have this privilege. We are prevented of enjoying this privilege. But yes, it is our right to. And we think and we all talk sometimes. For example, I would like to travel to Aswan and visit those places in Aswan, but I can't. And I think million times before taking the decision, yes, I want to go for a trip to travel, visiting a country. Unless it's important, I won't take the decision of traveling because I'll be suffering in both ways, going out and going in.
Okay, thank you. Now, coming back to the pandemic and how it influences the life in Gaza, how do you envision or how do you imagine the next upcoming months to be?
Living in Gaza, you can't predict the situation. We do have the same. We don't know what will be happening. We plan, but we don't know if this is the right plan or not. And now the pandemic is one of the things that we should plan to overcome it. now we have this pandemic, and we have also the political situation is being deteriorated in the last few days. So I can't predict what will be happening in the future, because it has been always the case. Okay, we plan to continue the way we're living, hoping that things will be much better, the siege will be lifted up, the borders are open. But this is all, let me say, dreams, became dreams, not something that you work for and to achieve. We hope. But I can't predict. This is the way we live in Gaza. We can't predict what's coming. Because one day we're good, the other day we're faced with a war, for example, or airstrikes. And now we have this pandemic. So nothing is predictable.
Okay. Do you have any question for me?
Yes. So you were in the West Bank, and you, as I have understood from you, and now you're in Germany. So how do people in Germany now face the pandemic?
So I'm back in Germany since end of March, and I think it changed a lot since then. So when I had just arrived, it was kind of the maybe so far the worst moment or the worst period in Germany, and numbers were going very high and politics were very strict. And then gradually they lifted these restrictions more and more. And now the situation is that you basically can move freely, you can travel, and the numbers have been pretty low for a long time. But now in the last 2 to 3 weeks, they are increasing again, and everyone, or let's say many people, are sure there's going to be a second wave, because now so many people, they felt maybe or still feel very safe going to different countries, have family gatherings, parties, weddings, and so on again. So we had some weeks where the daily infection rate was maybe 300-400, and the last 4 or 5 days it's been more than 1,500. So saying that, currently we can still move freely, but me personally, I unfortunately do expect that there will be new restrictions. And
yes, so our hopes goes that medicine will be discovered soon and issued before it is being a very difficult situation for all the countries. Yes.
Fida and I recorded this conversation on August 19 of 2020. A week later, on August 25, I received an email by Fida mentioning the first corona cases outside the designated quarantine areas and within the Gaza Strip. Quote, "For the last 10 days, Gaza has been exposed to daily airstrikes and expected political escalations. Adding to that, the siege has been further tightened up. Only few goods and medications are being allowed into the Gaza Strip. There is an acute shortage in fuel that operates the electricity station, as it is not allowed into Gaza. The people in Gaza live in darkness with only 3 to 4 hours of electricity per day. Yesterday, a new grave situation hit Gaza. A total of 4 COVID-19 cases were reported in the community, with high risk that they have interacted with a large number of people. The responsible parties have announced high level of emergency situation, and the 48 hours of complete lockdown was forced to limit the outbreak of the virus in the community, since the health system in Gaza is already curtailed due to the siege and will be a challenge to deal with the high numbers of infected people." Unquote. Up to the beginning of October of 2020, there were more than 3,000 positive corona cases spread in the Gaza Strip, and the lockdown continued. We will hear how Fida experienced this stressful period when talking to her again in the second season. In the following episode of Record of Change, we will hear Mackenzie Roller from the United States. Mackenzie just graduated from high school and finds her plans put upside down. However, she's confident to tackle the challenges she now faces. Follow Record of Change on your favorite podcast provider and find out more about the stories behind on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or our website, recordofchange.com. This podcast is implemented with and by members of the Bosch Alumni Network, a community that brings together former and current fellows, grantees, and staff members of the Robert Bosch Stiftung and its partners.